This is our number two. Welcome to the Fastest 15. It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. I am actually in the early stage of a four-day weekend. So Dave Bowes has today's news in our Fastest 15, and then I will be back with you at the bottom of the hour as we replay one of our favorite newsmaker interviews from the last couple of weeks. So let's get rolling here with the Fastest 15 and Dave Bowes, and I will see you again at the bottom of the hour.
It's time for the Fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Up first, congestion pricing for the city of Seattle. Seattle taking a closer look, and they're very concerned about how you might feel about it, at least if you're a Seattle resident or if you're commuting in and out of Seattle. At least that's what they want us to believe. Kyra 7's Michael Spears has a report.
Seattle is now exploring adding fees or tolls on drivers who move through congested parts of town, like downtown.
It might make me get on my bike more often and choose alternate methods.
That'd be one of the ideal outcomes of implementing congestion pricing. People choosing to drive during off-peak times, shifting to carpools or transit to avoid tolls and in turn easing congestion. Seattle said Thursday it's in the early stages of studying the idea that could also reduce pollution from cars. Part of the discussion includes how to help people who struggle to make ends meet through credits and exemptions and determining how drivers would be charged. Seattle says it's looking at 11 pricing tools that include charging drivers for crossing into and driving inside a pricing zone, as well as charging specific drivers like ride shares. On Twitter, we asked whether Seattle should implement congestion pricing. More than 160 people responded, some saying absolutely, but the majority saying no.
I like the idea of less traffic, but not necessarily paying more taxes for it.
Aren't you suspicious that they're not really into congestion pricing, where they're trying to relieve congestion, but it's more like they're into choking pricing so that they can choke off any additional car driving in the city of Seattle? Because remember, a lot of the jobs are not in the downtown corridor. There's a lot of the jobs are outside other parts of Seattle. The majority of jobs are outside the city entirely. And yet, you know, the city of Seattle is going to be implementing this when economic mobility for people, if you want to, you know, if you want to boost your job prospects, you have to be able to get to and fro. You have to be able to reach your other jobs. And the problem I have with how people tend to look at public transportation is they count how long you're on the bus. But, you know, let's say for me, I want to take the bus to work. I got to drive to the station. I got to park. I got to and then go to the bus stop. Usually I have to wait a little bit. If I time it out just right, that's not going to be too long. But then once I get off the bus, I'm going to have to walk to my place of employment. And all of that stuff adds up in the for time. And ultimately, it would have been just as fast to drive and far more comfortable. You know, so look, when I went through London, which has some pretty expensive congestion pricing, one of the problems I had was the signage. Like, where do you go to pay the tolls so you're not dinged for the extra, things like that. I ended up paying £100, which, by the way, is what I think at the time was about $175 or so for a ticket, because I'd gone into a zone and I couldn't avoid it. There was no place to. All I was trying to do was return a rental car, right? So just picture how Seattle does signage now. And you know what I mean? Like, you're driving along for a while. You could drive along 4th Avenue, and all of a sudden it would say bus only lane, and you had approximately 5 feet notice in a car. And so all of a sudden you're breaking the law. And this happens in various parts of Seattle where suddenly, if you're not used to that area, you're breaking the law and you're eligible for a ticket. It'll be the same thing here, except a video camera will just be sending you the ticket. So call me suspicious of the congestion pricing. And then the mayor's office releases the statement about how they want to build a more equitable transportation system. They repeat that a number of times, and they're trying to assure everybody that, you know, they don't want to disproportionately hurt other communities. And you think you're going to make it more expensive for people to get to and from work. You've already done a bang up job clogging up the city, choking it off with your road diets. We've got, you know, as much as we can celebrate having the waterfront, let's face it, the new tunnel has less capacity for a region that's expected to grow by double digits. So eventually, you know, you can end up strangling that growth. So congestion pricing, I'm a little suspicious that they're not really that interested in relieving congestion. They're more interested in the pricing part on that component. Next up on the Fastest 15, a couple of young folks at a high school in Pennsylvania find themselves embroiled in a censorship controversy because for a high school yearbook shot, they wore MAGA hats, the famed red Trump Make America Great Again hats. And they said that they were showing off their school spirit. They open up their school yearbook, and lo and behold, what they see is not what actually happened. Fox 43 reports from Pennsylvania.
16-year-old Jeremy Gebhardt is a strong supporter of President Donald Trump.
I just think he really wants to help out our country, and I think he is.
That's why he says he and his friend decided to show their support for the president during Littlestown High School's Spirit Week in October. The photo landing a spot in the yearbook with some changes.
We were like, wow, they blew their hats out.
Take a look at the photo shown here. The hat's embroidered with Trump Make America Great Again, photoshopped out.
I was like, wow, you serious?
His mother at a loss for words.
I was infuriated because he wears that hat because he supports our president. He's not doing anything illegal whatsoever. He's wearing a hat of support.
You know, part of me, by the way, I hearken back, and this probably ages me compared to Nicole here, but I hearken back to the day when, in my youth, when you'd be in high school and some kid would wear a hat all the time, but when you got in the classroom, you had to take it off. I mean, the teacher would be like, get the hat off. And then...
This was actually a hat day, though.
Oh, was it
so
hat day?
It was a special hat day.
Oh, well, that's different then. Hat day would be...
Right, okay. But yes, you... Back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day.
I can wear a hat as well.
Yeah, it's like if you smarted off to the bus driver, they'd just drop you off wherever they were. So, you know, you'd just be walking home, maybe a couple of miles. Those were good days.
Jeremy says he feels his rights have been taken away.
Everybody has First Amendment rights, right? They have freedom of speech, and they're allowed to think what they want, say what they want, but they're not allowed to take that away from other people.
It's very upsetting. Someone used this on purpose to blur out that Trump logo and make their own statement.
We reached out to Littlestown School District. The superintendent writing in part, quote, the mistake was not noticed during the editorial preview process prior to print.
Let's pause there. The mistake? How is it? If you go in to Photoshop a small hat off somebody's, you know, head, that's not a mistake. That's, you know, something else.
A statement.
Yeah. The statement, the doctoring of the photograph, whatever it is, it wasn't noticed. What do you want to bet that it was? I would like to do a public records email request of every reference to the yearbook at that school. I'd just like to see what they got going on the email. Because I'm betting that multiple people noticed the MAGA hats, and there was probably a conversation. Well, it probably wasn't on email. It was probably text, Snapchat. So, you know, it's gone now, but still.
There's usually a supervisor. Your point, it was probably a teacher that supervises the yearbook staff.
Yeah, the superintendent's like, my lawyers are telling me now to say it's a mistake because we're going to probably get sued and have to pay. Now, imagine how many MAGA hats these kids could buy for others if they launched this little lawsuit. Just
yeah, that's what
they could have.
I hope
MAGA
their money
hat
towards.
Oh my.
Apologize on behalf of the yearbook club. It is not the policy or practice of the district to improperly censor speech.
It is okay to disagree with people's views, but what's not okay is taking your freedom of speech and using it to take away someone else's.
The Gebhardts say they have a message for whoever was behind the decision.
You did not silence us.
You know, part of the irony here is it's like when, you know, people try to pressure. We just talked about this last hour. Washington Policy Center young professionals have an event, and then you've got people saying, "No, we don't want that event," and you know, to take place, let's force them out, and so they have to switch locations with 2 days' notice to talk about a homeless issue, and suddenly it gets more attention, right? Because people are saying, "Well, wait a second, what's going on here?" My bet is the MAGA hat. The people who decided, oh, well, we're not going to allow that message to get through, now they've given them a much, much, much bigger platform and national television coverage. So, you know, censorship generally, in this case, you've got a government entity doing it, so you've got genuine censorship here. But even cultural censorship, it's generally a bad idea. You know, debate the issue. Don't try to shut people down. That's what I say. Next up, Halsey covers the cost of a speeding ticket for a fan while jamming to Nightmare. This is one of the stories that Nicole picked out because I saw Halsey and I thought, is that the guy who starred in Matt Houston back in the TV show, like Lee Horsley?
Okay.
But no, it's Halsey.
Right. So this was the song. Well, I'm going to play you a couple songs. You might know, well, I don't know if you'll know this. This is her song that
Wait, how old is this singer? Is this a new singer?
She's relatively new. And
I
know,
like to think of myself as hip, as you know.
I realize not a lot of people will know this that are listening right now, but I thought it was a fun story anyway.
All right.
Here's the song that you may or may not know. Oops. Mike.
It's a good song. It's one of my favorites.
No.
It sounds like almost every other song I've heard in the last 5 years.
Right, Grandpa.
You know? Is there an app for that? Is that one of those where you just sing into it and have the computer change your voice, or is that a real song?
It's a real song. Okay. Anyway, she's kind of a hit. She's doing very well.
Good for her.
But
glad for that.
Would you like to song that she was that this person was singing has some swears in it, and it's not necessary to play. But
wow, we can't even play the song. I was thinking.
Well, we can play a piece of it. Here you go.
How do you?
I've tasted blood and it is sweet. I've had the rug pulled beneath my feet. I've trusted lies.
Anyway.
All right. Again, that song sounded exactly like the other one, except slightly faster.
Oh, stop. Yeah, so. Anyway, so the point is that she paid this ticket for this. Are you going to tell
somewhere,
the story?
Bach and Beethoven are right now just rolling in their graves saying, you know what? We lived in the wrong time. The true music was achieved in the year 2019.
Right.
So, you know, there's that. You're asking me to play what? The music?
No,
the song?
Tell the story.
The report?
Yes, and then your take on it. That's what we do here.
All right.
Tell the news.
I've tasted.
No, not the song.
Oh. Well, there is no audio here that says report of song.
No, you typically explain the story.
Oh, well, I can do that. Yes. All right, so, but I did that at the beginning. Halsey covered the cost of a speeding ticket for a fan while jamming to Nightmare. The fan announces that they get this speeding ticket on Twitter, and the singer, who apparently has a good app for making music and making money, I guess, more money than I'll ever dream of, ends up covering the cost of the ticket, which is, I have to say, that's a solid for the fans, right? I mean, that's pretty cool.
Right. Well, the reason that we brought the story up was because we were talking about speeding and how easy it is to speed when you are listening to music.
And how wonderful it is to speed.
Right.
If in a nice flat, like Spokane area, you know,
yes,
good stuff.
Yes.
Not a lot of traffic.
And I have noticed that I do this, and you were saying that you have noticed it. I thought you had more to say about it.
Well, the last time, I'll admit, it wasn't this. I got distracted by the auto-tuning that you ended up playing on the air here. But, you know, I mean, if I'm hearing an 80s hit, you know, harkening back to high school days, especially something that's a little faster, you know, like, say, Def Leppard's Pour Some Sugar on Me or something, or, you know, Here I Go Again on My Own or something like that.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's
all of a sudden,
song.
I'll look down at the speedometer and I realize, 85, I should slow down now before I, you know, hit the Washington State Patrol. I feel like there should be some kind of bumper sticker or some kind of sign on your car that shows what music you're listening to. So if you are caught driving about 10, 15 miles an hour over and the officer sees, oh, Bose is listening to Pour Some Sugar on Me, I'm just going to flash my lights as a warning because he's just captivated by the music at the moment and he wouldn't be speeding if he knew.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I would think sometimes your vehicle will give that away. So you and your, what I like to call the loser cruiser, I wouldn't guess that song was playing.
I'm just amazed that wasn't plural, the loser cruisers, because basically every car I get is like that. But what song do you listen to and you find yourself speeding to?
Oh, I would say, I like some Gaga. Everybody knows I like country, and I really do love country music, and most of the time I'm listening to that. But if I listen to some Lady Gaga, you don't even, I mean, you lose your surroundings.
I don't know Lady Gaga's song. I just picture as the lady who starred in that movie and then the American Nightmare thing that she did. But what? I know there's one song that I know that she sings, but I can't remember what it is.
The one song? There's Poker Face?
Oh, that one. Yeah. That's pretty catchy.
That's
I got
a
hand
good
it to
one.
Her. By the way, I think she's a genuinely talented person. You know,
she is extremely talented. Yes. Yeah. I actually saw her for the first time when she opened for New Kids on the Block, and we did not pay attention to her at all.
And who's opening for who now?
Right?
New Kids on the Block. You know, in fact, you're going to open for the open of Lady Gaga.
There you go.
Days. Yes. Good stuff. All right. Next.
No.
No. Absolutely not. Well, it says here I've got 2 minutes left.
Yeah, I told Sean to change that.
Is the tyrant
Sorry.
On this?
All right, yeah. Oh, look at that. This is a good one.
Real good one. It's called You and I.
Yeah.
It's like a great country-esque song by
like
her.
It.
That reminds me of me and Nicole, you know, just, you know, cruising along. I have no idea what the song is. All right. David Bowe's in for Dory Monzo. We'll hear more from Dory coming up. This time I'm not leaving without you.
Memorial Day weekend Friday. As you've been hearing, Dave Bowe's taking care of all the news of today, but we're trying something different. We're replaying some of my favorite newsmaker interviews from the last couple of weeks while I take an extra day off here. And one that I always appreciate this guy coming on with me, the superintendent of public instruction here in Washington, Chris Rakedahl. He knows that when he comes on my show, it's usually going to be an issue on which he and I disagree, because there were two issues recently in the news. One is the impact of Islam getting into our public schools and affecting some policies that superintendents wanted to implement, which was in a direct violation of the First Amendment. And then also, we've got a bunch of districts, Tacoma, Edmonds, that are talking about widespread teacher layoffs. And I had a chance to talk about both of those issues with our superintendent of public instruction, Chris Rakedahl. Chris, you are a good dude. You told me when you first got into this office that you would come on anytime we ask, and you have absolutely lived up to that commitment, and I really appreciate it.
Well, it's always good to talk to you because I think there's always a need for good dialogue. You and I have talked about this, which doesn't mean we always agree, but good dialogue is good radio.
I am with you, brother. Okay, let me talk about a couple of the issues that have been prominent on my show. A couple of weeks ago, a organization brought to my attention that in the Derringer School District down near Lake Taps, that the superintendent had forwarded some instructions, some advisories from CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. She forwarded it to principals. Principals forwarded it to teachers, and it gave instructions such as to greet Islamic students in Arabic during Ramadan, some other instructions on how to handle Islamic kids. I don't blame CARE. They're an advocacy group for Islam, and that's their job. I do wonder, when religious organizations get a foothold in our public schools, how you feel about that.
Well, I think the law is pretty clear that government in any form should not sanction or embrace a singular faith. That's really, really key. So schools should not organize around any of that work. Individual students can express it as long as it's not a disruption to others. We know about that. So this is more a question of, are we being respectful of very diverse religions, given that some of them have very specific faith elements while they are at school? And that's always the hardest work of principals and vice principals. So as long as the school is not organizing activities around a single faith, they can generally create this environment of tolerance.
Well, when a superintendent sends out a letter to principals, and the principal forwards it to the teachers, and it is very specific to that one religion, then that is, in my view, and certainly the view of the legal organization that's challenging it, that's a blatant First Amendment constitutional violation by the schools.
Again, I'd have to see the direction. If it was, hey, this is their month of fasting, or this is their spiritual time, and acknowledging that they may miss class for religious reasons, as many Christians do or Jews do. That's one thing to inform. If it's, hey, we're going to host activities specifically about this one religion, that would definitely be out of bounds. I haven't seen the information coming from them. But generally, our schools are trying to accommodate individual student and family faith, accommodate, not organize around it.
Okay, well, let me read to one from the North Shore School District, another one that I discussed. This is on their website, the school district website. They said, a brief mention of Ramadan or a lesson on it may promote the feeling of inclusivity. So that is not a directive, but is an advisory that you should be providing a religious lesson for one specific religion. I can find nothing about Judaism or Christianity or any other faith. It is only Islam that is mentioned. That's why this is a First Amendment violation.
Well, again, from a learning standpoint, our social studies curriculum very explicitly talks about learning about multiple faiths. So there are teaching standards that talk about expressing or showing students exposure to Christianity, Judaism, Islam, most of the world's major religions. And again, if this is a perception by a district that it is so unknown by the majority culture that it's creating oppressive behaviors or they're forcing students to test, even though they have a big 4-week, 6-week window, if they're putting their standardized tests in a place that just seems to implicate one religion, it's okay to inform folks and create a culture of tolerance. Generally, that's okay.
Well, that's not a culture of tolerance. That's saying you should have a religious lesson, and the only religion that is mentioned is Islam. And, you know, the First Amendment says government shall not promote any religion, and that's the only one that's being promoted actively in our schools.
Well, again, it's school by school, and all I can tell you is the learning standards don't promote any religion. They do ask in the learning standards to expose kids to multiple faiths in a historical context, right? Understanding the origin of all this, not to promote the religion. So I can certainly dive in and try to understand the directive, its origin, whether it is about sort of tolerance and calming people down if there's been an incident, but it should not organize religious activities around any particular faith.
Okay. Well, I think, hey, have you been in touch with the Derringer School District about this?
I have not.
Okay, because their superintendent just said that this was all a bunch of lies, but through public disclosure documents, it was revealed that she forwarded the CARE advisory to the principals and then on to the teachers. And at that point, that becomes a superintendent endorsing a religion and therefore the government endorsing one religion. But, I mean, I'd appreciate if you'd find out because I think they're in a legal jeopardy if schools continue traveling down this path.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to dive in on that.
Okay.
For sure, because that does sound a little out of the norm. One thing we do produce for schools in coordination with the University of Washington is a calendar. For school districts, we try to go out 2 or 3 years to identify all of the major religious holidays so that, again, teachers are very aware in curriculum or instruction or testing if their schedule is disproportionately hitting one faith over another. That is the extent to which we do that.
Okay.
And, again, it's informational. It's not organizing around a religious faith.
And I told you that's what we were going to talk about in this conversation, but certainly since we booked you for today, there's been a couple of prominent stories. Edmond school teachers getting laid off. Tacoma announced 31 staffers will be laid off. And by the way, we're talking with Chris Reichdahl, the superintendent of public instruction in our state. And Chris, I've been very critical about this because I said last summer and fall that this was all a big scam on the taxpayers. We have increased taxes by $4 billion for schools from $22 billion to $26 billion. And then the districts gave these massive, unsustainable raises to the teachers' union, and they did it all so that they could manufacture these layoffs and manufacture their case for local levies and more tax increases after we just gave you guys $4 billion more in taxes. And this just outrages me, Chris.
Well, I think you have a theory about this action, which I respect from your perspective. All I can tell you is it is normal in the law that if there are any budget impacts that result in layoffs, that teachers and other staff need to be notified in May. This is the window that happens. It generally happens every year. It's on heightened alert because, obviously, between collective bargaining results from last year, the legislature reducing local school district levies, and now a new healthcare system coming in, which will not provide a dime to school districts who fund positions above the basic education model. There will be districts, not many, but there will be districts who have financial hardship as a result of this. And the market is readjusting. They are figuring out whether they can afford their expenditures from the past, and they will have to make staff reductions if they can't afford it under the model. Most are fine. Some are going to make hard choices.
So the ones that are making those hard choices because they have massive budget deficits, I was talking to some school board members who were giving me, you know, lots of information during the strikes or the threatened strikes. And there were a lot of reasonable, fiscally responsible people who said, Dory, there's no way this is fiscally sustainable. Was it reasonable to give teachers massive raises when there was no funding for those raises?
Well, there was funding for it. And I go back 4 years, the state budget on average is, over that 4 year period has grown 32% for education as a result of meeting the court mandate. Teachers look like they're getting about a 28% pay raise over that 4 year period. So an average of about 7% a year. Those are big catch up raises for sure. But they're consistent with what's been spent in education. So teachers don't appear to be getting more salary than the overall investment in schools. So I'm very comfortable with where we're going, given the market breakdown that we had in teaching and the enormous shortfall that we started to see in colleges and universities preparing teachers.
But for those,
if a district can't afford it, they have to make the cuts now.
Okay, but that's not what's going to happen. They are going to go to the taxpayers and they're going to say, you don't want us to lay off these people. Let us do a local levy. The legislature lifted that lid to give you the districts the ability to raise more money. And that's where I say this seems to me to be a con game, because they're using all of these threatened layoffs as a way to make a case for a levy. And I don't think most voters understand that we have already been taxed an additional $4 billion for the public schools. And so that's where this is just, to me, a big manufactured crisis with a predetermined end game, and that is to go from a $4 billion increase in a, whatever it's been, 22% increase in taxes to even greater increase.
Well, I obviously don't see it that way. A lot of this is growth.
I didn't think you would, by the way.
Not a one-to-one tax increase for sure. But again, districts will make hard choices. For most of the Puget Sound area districts, they did not get a levy lift this year. That's only for the rural districts who are capped at $1.50 per thousand. They got a small bit of relief. All of the Puget Sound districts who are capped at $2,500 per child, except Seattle, all the rest of them are now frozen at that level. So you will not see local levy increases in those $2,500 districts. Instead, you'll see layoffs. And okay, that's that market resetting itself to the new financial reality. At some districts kind of weren't sure where they were a year ago, and now they're starting to see what they can afford. And the natural market reaction is you reduce labor costs, because we're an 80 to 85% labor business. And those are the hard choices they make.
Okay. Chris Rakedahl, Superintendent of Public Instruction. I always appreciate your time and the conversations.
Thank you, Dory.
That was my interview with Chris Rakedahl from last week, as we do a little best of today. But we're also covering all the news of the day. When we come back, Dave Bowes will have more of today's news as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM, and the universe is abuzz, furious even, about a doctored video of Nancy Pelosi that has gone out on Facebook and Twitter and social media. Some of the social media giants are doing their part to make sure that nobody is upset from their friends in the social left cocktail crowd, because after all, it'd be the worst thing ever if somebody put out something fake on the internet. I mean, you know, I'm stunned. I can't trust every single video I see. Basically, let's play what Nancy Pelosi actually said. Okay. And then we'll play the part that has them concerned.
Okay, sure, here.
All right,
here,
so this is what Pelosi actually said, yeah.
We want to give this president the opportunity to do something historic for our country.
All right, so Giuliani tweets out a slightly doctored video, or a video of Pelosi saying the same thing.
It's just slowed a bit.
Yeah.
We want to give this president the opportunity to do something historic for our country.
You can actually hear, if you're somebody who listens to audio regularly and carefully, you can actually hear kind of that tinny effect, you know, that it's been slowed down. But anyway, it's obviously meant to exaggerate the way that she talks and kind of sounds like she's had a few cocktails before doing so. And so
she normally sounds very, but she's had some speaking issues.
She frequently has moments like that. And so you have the highest powers of the internet now circling the wagons to protect Nancy Pelosi from this humiliation. And I just find that to be ridiculous. It's like, who cares? You know, he tweeted it out. It's obviously a joke. I just saw something that was pretty funny the other day where they had a picture of Donald Trump and Mike Pence, a little video, and it was like a Valentine's Day thing. And it said, find someone in your life who looks at Trump the way Mike Pence does, or the way Mike Pence looks at Trump. Find someone in your life who looks at you the way Mike Pence looks at Trump. And it shows Pence kind of just, he's got, you know, stars in his eyes. They capture just a moment where it does look like Pence is just in love with the man. He's checking him out. It's a funny, like, 5 seconds, right? Now, is the context off? Oh, I'm sure. It's still funny. And I wasn't thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, how dare they make Pence look so humiliated? This is the kind of thing where, you know, how many different Trump videos have I've seen one where Trump's hair does all kinds of strange and bizarre things. You know, I'm not sure that the Twitterverse rose to protect Donald Trump from that embarrassment. So, you know, at some point, you just got to trust your audience, right? You got to trust that people can figure it out on their own. Or Pelosi could say, well, this is what I actually said. I'm outraged by this. And then people could say, well, yeah, it's a joke. But some people can't get a joke. Sad enough, I thought the video was pretty funny. And I think objectively, if you could just, you know, set politics aside and listen to the one Pelosi and then listen to the other, it is pretty funny.
I think the outrage is funny.
Yeah. The outrage is also funny.
Is what you're upset about.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. You've got various big challenges in the world, and this is the one we're going to take on. You can text us your comments at the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. Text your comments to 98973 here on 97.3 Cairo FM.